Folks, don't give up hope. There is always hope. And we've got an expert guest with us for the next half hour to talk about the moment of hope that we may find ourselves in. Yes, MAGA controls the presidency and both houses of Congress and, well, the Supreme Court. But Democrats are applying pressure to save access to health insurance for some 22 million Americans. So hope does spring eternal. I'm so excited to be talking with her. Her name is Jennifer Sullivan. She is the Director of Health Coverage Access for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Welcome, Jennifer. It's so important for people to understand what's at stake in the shutdown. It's not just about furloughed employees and air traffic controllers. Healthcare access for tens of millions of Americans is on the line.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today, Maggie. It's good to be with you. You're absolutely right. We've got health coverage on the line for more than 22 million people who get their health insurance through the Affordable Care Act marketplaces, or healthcare.gov, as it's known in many states. And we can get into all the details, but I think the important thing to keep in mind is at the beginning is who gets insurance through the marketplaces? Let's start there.
Yes.
This is about people. The marketplaces were created because we had this gap in our health coverage system back in, 2010 when the law was debated, 2009, where if you didn't get health insurance through your employer, you didn't have an affordable option available to you. And heaven forbid you had pre-existing conditions, and then you couldn't even buy an overpriced plan on a private market. And what the Affordable Care Act did is say, let's create a place where people can buy good health insurance, high quality health insurance, even if they don't get that through their job. And if people need a little help paying for that because they're of their income, then let's provide some help to do that as well. And so we have a marketplace that serves one in four of the enrollees in the marketplace is a small business owner or is self-employed. This is a critical safety net for those folks. It's also really important for young people, people coming out of high school, people coming out of college that don't have their foot in the door, don't have a job that is offering high quality benefits, then they can purchase coverage through the Affordable Care Act. And then you've got folks at the higher end who are approaching retirement, but aren't quite there yet. They can't enroll in Medicare, but they're up in years, they probably have increased healthcare needs. And the marketplace, about 23% of marketplace enrollees are in that sort of 55 to 64 bucket. So I just think it's important to start these conversations about the human side of it. We can talk numbers all day long, but these are people who are working hard. By definition, if you're in the marketplace, you have an income, you're trying to make ends meet, and this is how you get your health insurance.
Yeah, and this is the thing. If Republicans, if the MAGA regime are not willing to come to the table and address this problem right now, tens of millions of people will likely either be grossly underinsured or not insured at all. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to have healthcare needs. It just means that people will either go bankrupt, be sicker, and or not get the preventative care that they need. And the folks that have emergency situations will still show up in the ERs for those life-threatening conditions. And because they're under or uninsured entirely, that has a domino impact on those who are fortunate enough to have good quality insurance through their employers, which is the traditional way. Jennifer, I wanted to get into who we're talking about, because when we talk about the tax credits that help people afford it, how does this operate? What are the particular details of the refunding or the restoration of these tax credits that help people afford health coverage through the ACA? How does it operate? And specifically, what is the credit? And what sort of income ranges are we talking about? Because I think folks have mixed ideas about who it is that needs this help.
Yeah, absolutely. So we always had these, we call them premium tax credits, these tax credits that have been available to help to lower people's monthly premiums if they're buying health insurance through the marketplace. And the amount of help that you get is based on your income and your household size. And we do a little calculation to figure out what the right amount of help is for somebody based on how many people are getting covered, how many people in their family, and what their income is. the marketplace doesn't lock somebody into a specific plan. It says, we're going to calculate how much help you get. And then this is America. It's called the marketplace after all. You take that credit and you can apply that to whatever plan you want on the marketplace. Somebody thinks they don't have a lot of needs, they can go for a less expensive plan. Somebody knows that they have a lot coming up this year or just have expensive prescription drugs. Maybe they want something that is going to offer more benefits. So there's a lot of choice. But at the end of the day, what we have had happen over the last few years and what's at the center of this debate is that we made those credits more generous in 2021, markedly more generous, including allowing people with very low incomes below 150% of the federal poverty level to get a silver level, what we call the benchmark plan for without having to pay a premium. So the tax credit would cover the whole cost and does cover the whole cost of the premium for those folks. It's particularly important in states that haven't expanded Medicaid because you have folks, it doesn't fill the entire coverage gap, like we call it, but it does allow people with income right around the poverty level to have an affordable option and a way to get health insurance that otherwise wouldn't exist. And also, the enhancements also made coverage or made the tax credit available to people with income over four times the federal poverty level that had been the hard cutoff before 2021, but only if your premiums exceeded 8.5% of your income. So we're talking, you know, $600 a month for a two-person family. So it's a high bar to get any assistance at all at that over 400% level, but it helps smooth what is otherwise a cliff where if I make, you know, $50 more this year, then all of a sudden I can't get any help at all. So those are two really important kind of bookends in how this enhancement was structured. But everybody in the middle is getting more help right now, too. And if that help goes away, then you're going to have millions of people who will say, I simply can't afford it. I'm going to go uninsured because this is not something that fits in my budget.
It's shocking to me. Some of the estimates, you know, say a married couple around the age of 60, making $80,000 a year, they're looking at premiums going from somewhere in the ballpark $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 to $22,000 to $24,000+ a year. That is simply not doable on a household income of $80,000. No one can pay 25% of their income for health insurance. We've been hearing from listeners that for the first time have to access health insurance through the marketplace who have chronic disease or have very high cost prescription drug needs, and they are petrified of what's going to happen. I have yet to hear, Jennifer, any response other than we'll talk about that later from MAGA representatives in the halls of Congress or in the White House. Especially from the president, are you aware of any plan to address this soon to occur? I mean, we're talking about November 1st when the exchanges open. Have you heard anything from MAGAs about their proposed solution when tens of millions of people wake up and realize they can't afford anything close to the health insurance that they were able to afford previously?
Right. It's Congress. They can always come up with a reason to kick the can. I talk about it as thinking about these tax credits as in their expiration as a house on fire.
Yes.
You can wait. You can wait to put, sure, you don't have to put the house out right now. Let it burn. But the damage will be greater the longer that you wait. And in fact, people are starting to see their premiums right now. We have a handful of states where they run their own marketplace, so not healthcare.gov, and they have started to post their premiums for 2026. So people can look there and get a side-by-side and start to see, oh my goodness, hundreds of dollars more a month, thousands of dollars a month in some cases. And when people get that kind of sticker shock, their reaction is typically not, well, Congress will probably fix this. I'll come back in a few months. This will probably be better in January. People are going to get scared. And the more people that start to see this, the fewer people are going to wait around or expect that things are going to get better. They're going to decide this is not for them. And getting people to come to the marketplace full stop is an effort that happens every year, a big outreach effort. And getting people to come back again and sort of convince them that we fixed this thing that was very scary that you saw a few months ago or a few weeks ago is going to be a gargantuan task. And that's why the expectation is that if we push this down the road, even more people, 1.5 million more people will become uninsured if this doesn't get acted on until the end of December. That was a Congressional Budget Office number from a little while back.
Yep. Folks, we're talking with Jennifer Sullivan. She's the Director of Health Coverage Access for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. You can find some of their most recent analysis by going to their website. And we'll put the link to their most recent study in our show notes for today, folks. Here's one tidbit that I wanted to pick up on here, Jennifer. It is completely absurd for MAGAs in congressional leadership to talk about, well, we'll have this discussion after the government reopens. One, because as we just talked about, those exchanges open for the states that don't run their own exchanges on November 1st. And guess what, folks? The exchanges only open for a limited window of time. So if we can't fix this, at least before the 1st or during the window of time that the ACA exchanges are open in the vast majority of states, people won't be insured for an entire year's worth of time, which means people will get sicker and freaking die. I just wanted to check my analysis on that. Like, this isn't, oh, well, we'll fix it and then everybody can access the exchange. That exchange is open for a very short window of time, November, December, which, by the way, the big brutal bill made a shorter window of time. So this isn't a lie to say we can just deal with this later. The only time to deal with this is right now.
That's absolutely right. The enhancements to the credits expire at the end of December. Open enrollment ends on January 15th. I'd want to make a quick point, which is that more than half of enrollees don't actively come back every year and look at the website. They hit the set it and forget it button, like most of us do, to make our lives easier. More than half of people aren't going to find out what their premiums are until they get a notice in the mail the last 2 weeks in December, when there's a little bit going on for most of us. Then they get sticker shock, and they have 2 weeks to take action before they are locked out of coverage for the year if it's not affordable for them.
And that will be a disaster for, again, tens of millions of Americans, folks sicker, folks that will die, because Republicans don't want to have a good faith conversation about this problem right now, which is when we need to deal with it. I want to talk about when we come back. We're going to have to take care of a couple of short messages here before we come back. But on the other side, I want to get to these two concepts with our special guest this half hour. The first is dwindling insurers willing to provide coverage through the exchanges and what that means long term for premiums. Hint, they're going to go up more. And secondly, is this a not so subtle effort to crash the entire ACA? They couldn't legislate it away, so they're going to kill it by making it unsustainable. We're going to discuss that next here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us, folks.